The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
It's the weekend. Time for faith, family, and good friends. Time for the Patrick McCormick Show on Relevant Radio. Welcome to the front porch.
Problems, but we'd all be friends, treating your neighbor like he's your next of kin, wouldn't be gone with the wind. Now, if the world had a front porch like we did back then.
The Patrick McCormick Show. Pull up a chair. You're on the front porch. Now here's your host, Patrick McCormick.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Patrick McCormick here, Relevant Radio Chicago. Tim Mersch behind the board. Bosco is here. Good morning, Bosco. How are you? So good to have you here, Bosco. Okay, go back to bed. There you go. So, hey, folks, March 24th, Saturday morning. So good. So glad you're here. It's a great day to be alive. Great St. Patrick's Day last weekend. Had a great week. Boy, Lent is really on in full swing. Holy Week is upon us. Hopefully you're having a great Lent. And you know what? If you ever get off track with what your intentions were, what you're going to give up or what you're going to do specifically for our Lord during this time of Lent, it's never too late to start again. You can always start over again. But praying for you, please pray for me. And we're here for your family every Saturday morning from 10 o'clock to 11:30. If you do ever miss the show, you can check out the archives on relevantradio.com or iTunes. It is podcast. You can share it too and send it to your grandma or, you know, your relatives and good stuff. Follow me at Twitter at PMACRR or email me any questions, comments, ideas, suggestions, Pat at relevantradio.com. Patrick Madrid's people keep saying, hey, we're getting emails from you and I'm getting their emails and all this sort of stuff. So if you want to send an email to Pat Madrid, that's Patrick Madrid. Or Patrick at relevantradio.com. I'm Pat, P-A-T, at relevantradio.com. And check me out at Facebook at the Patrick McCormick Show. So I'm excited to have my first guest this morning. And I saw this lady at the recent the Lenten luncheon for Relevant Radio, and that's Kendra Von Esch. And she has a very, very interesting story, and I'm excited to have you. Welcome to the front porch. Kendra, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me, Patrick.
It's exciting to have you. You were featured as a guest speaker at the Lenten luncheon that we just had at Oak Brook at the Drury Lane.
Yes.
I'm getting everything all squared away.
That's correct.
And you have an amazing story. Executive, high-powered executive career for 20-plus years here in Chicago, born and raised Catholic. And you have kind of a lot of people talk about the conversion stories from Protestants to Catholicism, but you were born and raised Catholic, and you had a reversion. Do you call it a reversion or a conversion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I actually knew what I thought I should have known coming out of CCD and catechized, so to speak, yes, I would have known my faith and would have had some decisions to make and decide if I were to come back to the Catholic faith. But when I grew up, I was going through CCD, and I'm telling you, this was my experience. I am not saying that there are a lot of people that weren't catechized, but I wasn't, nor did we practice. So, you know, I got to look at mom and dad and say, hey, we never went to church, so I wasn't applying anything that I was learning on the weekends into my real life as a child. So
growing up, you were baptized Catholic, but just never catechized, didn't practice. Mom and dad didn't practice either. Or you grew up in Palatine, right?
Correct. I grew up in Palatine. Mom and dad didn't practice. We did go all the way through confirmation. So I had my first communion and confirmed. And then from there, we were creasters. I call them the Christmas Easter goers when we were children. And then when we were young adults, we just kind of stopped going pretty much altogether. So
I have to say, when I heard creasters, because there was one Easter I was complaining, somebody's sitting in our spot.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And I think it was my mother-in-law just wisely said, they're here, aren't they? You know, like, this is a great thing that these people that don't go as regularly as they should are here.
Yes.
And when you're in front of our Lord, There's no better place to be.
Right, exactly.
And we're glad to have them.
Well, I've been those people that have sat in the other person's spot, trust me, many, many a time. So I appreciate the kindness.
So, Kendra, you had a great life as far as success. I mean, you're 20 years in the chief information officer for a large company, and you had everything, and you were missing something. So let's get into your story as far as how God was doing fishing and he kind of reeled you back into the boat.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is it's more of a shock to me probably than anybody, because at the end of the day, I didn't feel like I was missing anything. My life was fabulous. I had everything that I could have wanted. I wasn't rich by any means, but I didn't worry about money. Had a great family, great kids, great friends, had an awesome social life, all the toys. And so life was fabulous. And we had a health scare come into our family. And so out of that, it wasn't like I decided that I was going to go find God. I decided I needed to lose some weight. So we went through this cleanse diet, and inside the book, there was a pie chart of little pieces of your life. And one of those pieces of the pie said spirituality. And that was when I kind of looked at myself and was being really honest and said, boy, I've got nothing going on in this piece of the pie. So I decided I was going to go ahead.
You are really honest. It's a lot of people, when they're asked, like, well, I pray, or they'll say stuff that kind of like smooth that over, but you were like, nah.
Yeah. Oh no. I prayed. I prayed when I needed something, when I was in some sort of situation, when somebody was sick or ill, but I didn't have that relationship with God, nor did I know anything about Catholicism and the sacraments and all of the teachings, nor was I living them, nor did I want to change to live them. So quite frankly, it was kind of like a half into it type of deal. I thought, okay, I'll go to the church. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't going to be the Catholic Church at first because I felt like a big hypocrite. I know I am living the anti-Catholic lifestyle.
So there was a little bit of like embarrassment or like shyness of like, I'm not going to go back there because I... How do you go back?
Yeah, I'm a complete hypocrite. I don't even know what to do. It's been so long. So I decided I was going to go to this quote unquote big box church down the street from my house. And the night before Easter 2013, which is 5 years ago, I have the Easter celebration at my house. It's Easter Saturday because we have a lot of split up families. So no different this year. And my mom's boyfriend said, well, why aren't you going to the Catholic church? And I, you know, at 11:30 that night, I didn't really feel like arguing, you know, so I was like, I don't know. And so I Googled the closest Catholic church. And the very next day I went to Mass for the first time and I was, you know, complete fish out of water there. I mean, it was very interesting.
It's like it's been so long and what do I do?
Everyone's, totally.
When do you sit, stand, and then the responses are different now than they were.
They absolutely were.
You mentioned there was a health scare. So tell me about that, because that's, you know, anytime there's a health scare, almost every family can relate to that.
Right.
That's when the bells get rung and everyone starts to pray.
Exactly.
So what happened in your
life? So this came out of the blue. It was actually my father. He had a quadruple bypass surgery.
Oh, wow.
The day before he went in to see if he could get knee replacement surgery. So he was supposed to be golfing this summer. And at this time, they said, you know what? You're not going anywhere. You're going to have quadruple bypass surgery tomorrow. So that 18 hours was probably the most I have prayed in my entire life. So it was deep on my knees. Lord, you know, please help my father get out of this type of thing. I didn't make any, you know, of those last minute decisions like, I'll give you my life and all of this if you only
do
that.
You're negotiating. Yeah, you're just like, give me, I need.
Yeah, just please make him get out of this healthy.
It's important to clarify what type of prayers we're talking about.
Exactly.
I remember negotiating as a young child that one of the neighbors had some scare, and I went with a bouquet of roses to Mary, like, here you go, and put them there. You know, I'll never forget it. It's like, you know, this is going to win her over, and that person's going to get healed, which I don't think they did. But
oh, that's great.
I'm sure grace never it's always flowing. So, so ultimately, though, you prayed.
Yeah, I prayed. I prayed a lot. And I think that I opened up the door. And again, like I said, even though I went to church the next few weeks. I mean, that was when the cleanse was going to start for us. It was going to be on Easter Sunday.
Oh, this is the health thing.
The health cleanse. And so we just tucked, I just tucked in the church stuff because I'm the one that had that bright idea, not my husband.
So dad's sick. You start praying. And then why the cleanse?
So we both were like, hey, we're kind of carrying on an extra 15, 20 pounds.
We got to get healthy.
Yeah, we should probably do this. Yes, I prayed 18 hours, but I didn't go running back to church. I needed to lose weight, and I dragged my husband through this cleanse, and inside the book was that graph, that pie chart, and that was that's what started the church for me. And oh, by the way, I never not, that sounds like a really funny statement, but I went to church from that day forward. For the past 5 years, I haven't missed Mass.
Wow.
Maybe once, but it was a legit excuse.
Let's talk about this. This is interesting because from my standpoint is that I don't have anything perfect, but I have been faithful for a long, long time. So I never have with my story, I never kind of went off the rails, done plenty of stuff that's wrong. but from a person that goes away and that needs to come back, let's talk about that. I mean, is that scary?
Oh, so
I mean,
very
it's uncomfortable,
scary.
Like
more than uncomfortable, especially when you start getting in and all you really remember about the Catholic Church is the rules and how many there are and what you can't do, not what you can do, and why the rules are there and why the sacraments are there. So again, when I went to Mass my first time after not going, I really didn't know the basics. So that, like the Eucharist, that's the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. Yeah, didn't really know that. Should I be in a state of grace to go up there and receive Him? Yeah. So should I have received communion that Easter Sunday that I hadn't gone in so many years to Mass? Hadn't been to confession for at least 26 years? Yeah, no, I probably shouldn't have, you know, received the Lord, but I did, you know, right, because I
didn't
know.
But you didn't know any better. Yeah.
Right.
So you weren't, the culpability wasn't there.
But then the more I learned, the more I realized, and the more I realized, and the more I understood. And God, He does give you ears to hear at certain times and not to hear at others. So it took me a couple of years to really get there and understand why the rules are what they are and how we should abide by them in order to have joyous, happy, peaceful lives.
On the front porch with Kendra Von Esch, and we're talking about her reversion, not conversion, reversion, baptized, raised Catholic, not catechized, but had this moment when she prayed for her father who was ill at the time, went in for surgery. You and your husband decided to do a cleanse, and in the health book, discover the spirituality question, and you gave yourself a 1 out of 10 or a 0 or whatever.
Probably 0.
And this was the beginning. This is the beginning. Absolutely exciting stuff. But it's interesting. You had everything. So you had everything, and then you come back to the church and start going to Mass that Easter Sunday. And then you start to realize, I got so far to go?
Not only do I have so far to go, but the Holy Spirit lit me on fire pretty fast in terms of thirst for knowledge about what this Catholic thing is. And is it really for me? Because I know I'm already living the anti-Catholic life. So if I really believe that this is the truth and this is how I should be living, then that means I'm going to have to make some changes to my life. So when I went into this, I didn't want to change. Again, my husband calls it the flavor of the month. You know, I have a lot of those.
Yeah.
So he was expecting this to go away after a few weeks because I don't want to get up on Sundays anymore or, you know.
Because like we're into trends type things.
It's like my New Year's resolution every year. I'm, you know, back into the box of cookies, you know, a month
after
I get started.
What does he say now when he's seeing you after 5 years, like?
Amazed at the transformation and how much of a commitment I have to it, to walk away from my professional career that I worked really hard to get to in order to really help inspire people to enrich their lives through faith and prayer, meaning the joy and the peace and the love that you feel when you find faith and when you believe the sacraments and you receive the Lord in the Eucharist and you go to confession and prepare yourself for the Lord and you have that deep reflective time and you pray. So I go from not even going to church at all to trying my darndest to go every single day because I feel the transformation of the Eucharist coming into my body. It's, you know, I could whip out Bible verses and argue, you know, theological debates till the cows come home about the real presence in the Eucharist, the Eucharistic miracles, etc. And I do put some of that together. But what I do know is how I feel. My body is just bursting with joy. And I look at people and I think, oh my goodness, they don't have a clue how much more happy they could be. How, when you're humble enough to give God the wheel and say, okay, here's the sports car of my life. Go ahead and drive it where you will. I'll trust that you'll get me there safely and that you've got the map, because I sure don't, or what I'm living has been great so far, but nothing like what you've shown me over the last couple of years.
That's absolutely impressive, because the joy that you see, like seeing you with this new joy that you have, it's amazing. How many people have I guess you've turned heads with your newfound joy in your faith with Christ?
I think that is why I chose to go in this direction, because when I do share my faith, people that know me are quite frankly flabbergasted and shocked. Like, are you kidding? You of all people found God? And yes, I can see it in you. You know, people were asking me, was it a diet that I was on? Am I pregnant? You know, like, you have this radiance about yourself. And when you have this like freedom and peace to just give it to God and know that He's going to take care of you. Sure, I have to remind myself 300 million times a day to do that. Yes, I'm not perfect at it, like we all are. But when I do, and I know, okay, I've really given it up to Him. I've got wonderful night's sleep. I don't wake up in the middle of the night with neck pain. I'm not worrying.
You have a lot more peace.
Oh, it's amazing. But it's when I keep up with it. So I'll be honest with you.
Oh, so this is not easy?
Oh, this is not easy, right? The daily life and incorporating it every day.
Being Catholic's not easy.
Yeah, no, the bar is so high. Thank goodness the mercy bar is just as high.
We have to tell confession and everything. That's a really good point. But we have to tell ourselves that too, where it's like, this stuff is not easy. I mean, we're sinners, we're broken, we're limited. And God knows this, and that's why He gives us the sacraments and the church and all of these things to keep us on track to the road to heaven.
Yes. I wish I knew all this stuff. And, you know, and I think about, well, that wasn't God's plan for me. God wanted to use me after, you know, this fabulous life that I already had to a, wow, guys, you don't even know what you can really have in terms of happiness and joy.
Yeah.
Unless you really have that
now,
with God.
Earlier you said you were living an anti-Catholic lifestyle.
Yeah.
Now, was it anti-Catholic, or is it just kind of like apathetic or just kind of like indifferent?
Oh, I wasn't trying to live anti-Catholic. I just was.
Okay.
So every one of the rules, okay.
You're breaking.
Birth control to, I mean, just some mortal sins. I was just not living the teachings, nor did I necessarily believe in them either. So I struggled through...
How is the sacrament of let's pick up what you just said about confession. How has the sacrament of confession been for your reversion?
Oh, my first time after 26 years was a life changer. I just would love to touch anybody that's listening who's thinking about going back to confession. Do yourself a favor. Google the examination of conscience. I did not do that. I wish I did, because I think I would have had a much more thorough confession for my first time in. But go in, even if you don't have time to do the examination of conscience, just go in, ask the priest. He'll walk you through it. And on the other side, any fear that you have walking in there, any, you know, tremblings or... you know, you're
it
ashamed.
Can be very, very intimidating for people. Even people that go regularly. I mean, there's an intimidation. I think the devil messes with people.
Oh, no question. And to be able to say it out loud and to hear the shame in what you're saying too, because it's your own voice. And
yeah,
my first time was pretty tough. But I love it now. And so I sit there and I think it's not this shameful thing that we do.
Right.
Catholics do it to continue to cleanse themselves and to be in the best state of grace to receive the Lord. So for me, if I could go every day, if they had it, I would. I mean, I'm sure the priest
it's you again.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
But it's so
true. But you can go as much as you need to go.
Yeah.
Obviously, within reason, we don't want to be like, you know, destroying our priests. They have lives too. But
yeah.
But it's an amazing sacrament. I heard a priest from Marytown. I was at Marytown this week, and I just wanted to give a shout out to the Franciscans at Marytown.
They're so great.
They are absolutely beautiful men. I mean, they are just so holy. And this one priest, I think he's from Poland, and I don't know his name. We never met, but he's like, Holy Week is coming. Don't wait to the Triduum. Go to confession. We are here for you to serve you. By administering the sacrament of confession and listening to your confession and giving you the mass and saying the mass for you so you can receive Jesus. And he was very like, he wasn't wagging his finger, but he was very emphatic. And it was like, I was so happy to hear that message. But I wanted to give them a shout out because when you hear priests really profess that, he's like, me too. I need it too.
Yeah.
And we have to go with a regularity. And, oh, this is what he said. This is why I'm bringing it up. I always have to bring it back here. I'm sorry.
I'm the same way.
He's like, Christ is who you're going to confession to. We're there in the persona Christi. We're the person of Christ. I mean, we're acting in his person.
Right.
But you're going to confession to Christ. So just remember that when you're scared.
Right.
And that really helps a lot. You know, you see the big picture here.
It does.
Absolutely.
It does.
On the front porch with Kendra Von Esch, and she is a revert. I never use that word too much. A revert to the Catholic faith. She was born and raised Catholic. I would say led a lukewarm life for a long time and then through the cleanse. I was not a fan of the 30-day cleanse, but this and praying for your father's surgery was the impetus for your reversion to the faith. And so you leave. I want to go to this part of your story. You leave a career, which careers are such a big deal, especially in this day and age, men and women in the workforce, it's like the end all be all for some people. And what are you doing now?
So I had a lot of reflection time. I even got a life coach to walk me through a process to get me to what I believe my calling is. So back in August of last year, I started just kind of getting myself out there, talking to a bunch of people about what I recently did. I was a executive advisor, brand ambassador for some software company. And it opened a lot of ideas and opportunities mm-hmm. that expanded beyond being a chief information officer, for example. And what it did to me was just open up so many doors that I became overwhelmed at what options were available to me. So I sort of panicked. And then I kept thinking, oh no, I'll just go back and I'll be that CIO. It's good paying. Everybody expects that from me.
Kind of like the apostles went back to fishing.
Exactly, right? Yeah, I know right? This. People expect this out of me. My husband, you know, quite frankly, who's not into the faith like I am, is watching this transformation. And I'm sure he's kind of wondering, is this going to go more in a faith-based side of the house? What's going to happen?
Is that a big deal? Because when you have two incomes, I mean, and right now you're changing paths, you're taking a lever, right?
Yes.
Is that kind of like a shock to his system or?
It's definitely a shock to us lifestyle wise.
Okay.
Until, you know, my side of the world starts picking up, you know, and starting to, you know, get business, if you will, so to speak. But that's not why I'm doing it. It's really all, and that's what he also sees is, don't worry, you're doing what your passion is. You feel like you're a disciple of Jesus and you've got to get out there and spread the word. And I think I have be not afraid. Don't be in your head for too long because that's the worst place to be. Because I came, Patrick, kicking and screaming, kicking and screaming because I was saying, I do not want to do this. I've never done this before. What are people going to say about me? Mm-hmm. You left this executive career for this Catholic thing, you know,
yeah,
like
the world will look at it's like a big, that's a big foolish move.
Right. Like, what are you thinking? Right. So at the end of it all, I don't care. I'm following my internal feelings and I'm discerning. I've got a spiritual director. I know I'm heading in the right direction. God keeps putting people in my way, yourself included, to help and everything. So I'm just going to try to have no fear and keep going.
And whenever there's a fear when it comes to finances, someone once said, God has a big checkbook. Don't worry about it. And it's true.
I love that.
It's true because it's like you get caught up with like, and it's people, we all have concerns when it comes to finances because it's like we got to pay, put the lights on and we have to eat and clothe ourselves and all that stuff. And God does a great job. Now, of course he does. you're writing a book.
Yes.
So tell me about the book.
So yes. So the book is called Am I Catholic? In italicized with a big question mark because, you know, anything but Catholic, right? I mean, I'm not even sure what that is.
Why that title?
Because I'm owning my Catholicism now. Earlier I had a first edition, which was Where You Are At, and mm-hmm. it's all about God meeting you where you are at. But at the end of it all, it's not just about spirituality. It's about faith and what Catholicism offers you through the sacraments and all of the blessings. So I really started getting my Catholic voice. So then the subtitle is A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. So for me, it was really a struggle to come to this faith of Catholicism, believe in all of its teachings and understand why, humble myself to change, and then giving it all to God in my career and my life. The way that I'm transforming my life is hopefully to help others connect with God, but also live and lead their lives through compassionate eyes. You know, the love thy neighbor and thy God, you know, the two sacraments and of the Eucharist and confession and the two commandments are really kind of what I'm circling my life around.
So talk to me about the encounter. When you're talking about the encounter, this relationship, the encounter with Christ that you're leading with your book. Now, the book itself is being revised, or is it out yet?
So it is going to be available Sunday, March 25th, and I don't want anyone to not have the ability to read it. So we're going to have 3 days on Amazon where you can download the ebook to any Kindle device that you have on your iPhone, your Droid, your pads, whatever cool. the case may be, your PC, etc. So again, Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. You can Google a Kendra Von Esch. But it'll be out there for 3 days for a free download.
Are you going to do like the whole book? You've never written a book before?
I've never written a book before.
What's that like?
It was fun. So I wrote it in 5 days, my initial version. Just kind of came out of my fingers, and it was...
But it's 1,500 pages. How did you do it so fast? No, I'm just kidding.
People, it's not 1,500 pages, trust me.
Yeah, great.
I really tried to keep it light. Yeah. I tried to make it conversational, funny, because honestly, I stumbled all the way through this.
What's your hope?
So my hope is that I can reach that 77% of Catholics that have fallen away or don't know what Catholicism is about, or maybe they had like an incident that happened in their lives or a bad experience with a parishioner or someone throughout, you know, their Catholic upbringing.
Sure.
Sometimes it could be one event that really turns people.
I've heard tons of stories. It's wild. Yeah, you're like, really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, the postman was Catholic and he looked at me the wrong way.
Right.
You're like, whoa.
And so we haven't gone back since, you know.
Yeah. It's usually not that light, but yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of the whole point is, okay, but look back at this and here, let me just share with you the benefits of me coming back to the faith, understanding what it's about and really fundamentally transforming my life, the joy. And I cannot wait to share and spread it.
Kendra Von Esch, your authentic witness is fantastic. You're coming on the show this morning to share this, your story, I think is going to inspire many people. And the book itself comes out Sunday, tomorrow.
Yes.
And folks can go on Amazon.com for the next 3 days, Sunday,
yes.
Monday, Tuesday, Holy Week, download it, read it. And then any ways that people can reach you, website at all? Or
Yes, they can go to www.kendravonesch.com. I'm also starting a compassionate collective. It's really just looking at the eyes through compassionate eyes. So I'm putting together vlogs, video blogs, that I share every week. So we've had one about looking at your life through compassion, one through patience. The next one's going to be with gratitude. It's just really looking at how you can evaluate the way in which you interact with yourself and others every week with
awesome.
Kind of a new lens. So it's free. I'll never sell you anything through there. It's just, I'm just trying to share the love.
Amen to that. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and God bless you and all your work with your book and reaching out to encourage other people.
And thank you so much for having me, Patrick. It's been a blast.
God bless. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more conversation. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back.